Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In America, when a Christian in the public eye says something especially true and important, usually they apologize. We followed for years and used to chuckle about Jerry Falwell. He must have had it on his weekly calendar. Remember the founder of the Moral Majority? Monday, issue press release. Tuesday, issue apology. I mean, it was like clockwork, which brings us to ESPN, which we'll get to right away. But also today, I'd like you to think about our BEL teaching, our article called Nicer Than God, on how Christians, they try to be nicer than God. And it doesn't really get them anywhere. In fact, it backfires. Like when you think about the teaching that homosexuality is wrong and how hard Focus on the Family tried for 30 years to be nice to homos. How nice. They did everything conceivable to be dripping nice to homosexuals. And the nicer they would try to be, the more the homos hated them. Because if you disapprove of them, there is no degree of niceness. The nicer you are, the more they will despise you. And how's that working out for them? How's it working out for the whole body of Christ, which decided decades ago they were going to dismiss the stigma against homosexuality and replace it with respect and tolerance of homosexuality? How's that worked out for them? Hey, guys, how's that working out for you? Also, there's been an email exchange which has exploded over the last couple days about how Christians should treat homosexuals. It's between about 70 Christian leaders. Greg Jackson, he didn't start this one, but he's a part of this one. And many Christian leaders, including the president of Exodus International. And so I'd like to talk about that. I got an email back from him just saying, Bob, thanks, but no thanks. And we'll discuss that, too, because 20 years ago, I had leaders of an ex-gay ministry in this radio studio 20 years ago called Where Grace Abounds. And I remember warning them, thanking them for the desire to reach homosexuals with the truth of the gospel and that they could turn from their perverse lifestyle. But I remember warning them that it is so dangerous to have homosexuals, former homosexuals, minister to homosexuals because you're just setting them up to fail. And what a tragic 20 years it's been since then with the many leaders of anti-homosexual, ex-gay ministries returning to the vomit, as the Bible says, including the head of Focus on the Family's ex-gay ministry who fell back into homosexuality, and just on and on and on. It's been a terrible 20 years for that. And that warning, it would be like, you know, if you have a former terrorist, there are former terrorists, they could minister to terrorists. No danger there. That's fine. They might get killed, but there's no danger there. If you have someone who's been addicted to pornography and they say, I'm starting a ministry to porn stars or to strippers. Now, is that wise? Is that a good idea? Somebody who's been addicted to pornography, a Christian, and now they're going to minister to strippers and prostitutes. Good idea or bad idea? Really bad idea. So the whole ex-gay ministry where you have former homosexuals ministering to homosexuals, it is a disaster waiting to happen. And you'd think that biblical wisdom, discernment would warn everybody that this is a disaster. But everybody's seen it play out. And now there's this huge split in the ex-gay movement, where many of the leaders are beginning to say, you know, really, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. We have to, just a whole range of statements where you could see that they're falling. And so to get back to ESPN, Chris Broussard said a wonderful thing yesterday about the homosexual basketball player. whom, you know, obviously no man should share a shower in a locker room with, you know, it would be like allowing a man onto a women's team and then him demanding to shower with the women. It'd be like that. It's crude and wrong. It's perverse to have someone sexually attracted to a gender than to allow them into places where they can be a voyeur. It's wrong. It's just wrong, but it's part of the insanity. You know, like, do not murder, we have abortion. Do not commit adultery, we have fornication, homosexuality, and all that. So it brings you into a world of insanity. But ESPN's Broussard, he said something so powerful yesterday, on Monday. Now, what's today? It's Tuesday, gotta apologize. Well, perhaps not an apology, but it was worse than merely watering down his statement. It was an affirmation of this homosexual NBA player speaking about this Jason Collins. Now, Collins may have decided, he gave a noble motives for why he came out of the closet. And, you know, Christians are headed into the closet. You allow homosexuals out, that means Christians in. The two are mutually exclusive in the public square. So that this Chris Broussard of ESPN, he is utterly hated, despised. And those who claim that all they wanted was tolerance and diversity and free speech and all that, that was all a lie, completely a lie. Chris Broussard just says, hey, the Bible says this is a sin, you know? That is not tolerated in their world. So the lie of tolerance, and I argued this with Mike Rosen on his show on KOA 20 years ago, that the lie of tolerance, they are utterly intolerant of anyone who would not approve of their sexual perversion. Utterly intolerant. And so if they wanted tolerance, shouldn't Chris Broussard also be tolerated? You know, Jason Collins and Chris Broussard, they should both be tolerated. No, that's the lie. Right? That's the lie. So anyway, Broussard said something great yesterday. He said, on the air, on ESPN, to a national audience, he said, I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is. If you're openly living in unrepentant sin, whatever it may be, that's walking in open rebellion to God and to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, he left himself a little bit of wiggle room, and those who've listened to this program for a long time might have identified it. It's when we say, well, in my opinion, or I think, imagine Jesus, right? Jesus saying, well, personally, I think it's a sin for a man and a woman who are not married to fornicate, personally, in my opinion, right? Jesus didn't say that. The apostles didn't say that. The prophets didn't say that. It's coming from a position of strength, and strength and conviction helps people to take seriously your words. So rather than I don't agree with, I think it's a sin, I think, rather than that, homosexuality is wrong. Homosexuality is a sin. God says that all sex outside of marriage, including between a man and a woman, outside of marriage, is wrong. Isn't that better than I think, in my opinion? That is the world's attempt to manipulate Christians into watering down the truth. So now he has clarified his remarks, Chris Broussard. And he said, I offered my personal opinion. Notice that. Was it your opinion or is it God's? If it's your opinion, Chris, who in the world gives a rip whether they have your approval or not? Who cares? It's like a Republican candidate saying, well, I am personally pro-life. Well, are you running? Are you in an election to be voted to be a person? Or are you trying to be a governing official? If you want to be a governing official, what matters is your official position, not your personal position. What are your policies? So I offered my personal opinion. Well, he says, I offered my personal opinion, as it relates to Christianity, a point of view that I have expressed publicly before. I realize that some people disagree with my opinion, and I accept and respect that. Now, could you say that properly with all sin? Like, there are people who hate blacks. There are people who think blacks should not be playing professional sports. Still, there's a few. Back when number 42, who's played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, Jackie Robinson. Back when Jackie Robinson was beginning to play, when was that, 1947? And the whole, you know, there were millions of people who didn't like him playing with white guys, professional sports. And so today now, thank God, there are fewer of those people, but they're still out there. So would Chris Broussard say, I respect those who think blacks should not be in the NBA? Would he say that? Would he say that? No, he'd get fired if he said that. But he respects the perverts who undermine Jesus Christ's authority when Jesus said God made us male and female at the beginning of creation. Now, the vast majority of homosexuals believe in evolution, billions of years that they evolved from animals. In fact, they defend their lifestyle not by showing how homosexuality is approved in the scriptures, but by showing how animals will sometimes engage in homosexual behavior. That's one of their defenses. They write about it. That you look at animals, and sure enough, there are animals. You know, animals will sometimes rip each other apart and start eating one another while they're still alive. Animals will kill their own young and eat their own young. That's one of the reasons we call them animals. So homosexuals say, well, you know, it's natural. Animals do these things. And that's actually the hardest argument they make to oppose, because if they're saying that we homosexuals, we are like pigs and dogs, it's hard to refute that. I have to think about that for a while. We are pigs and dogs, so they believe they evolved from animals and they could behave like animals. And so if evolution were true, it'd be hard to objectively criticize those who want to act like animals, because we are animals. But so Chris Broussard says, you know, I respect what Jason Collins pushing his homosexuality onto the men on his team, in the locker room, onto the NBA, into our living rooms. I had a father today tell me that he's not going to watch ESPN with his son anymore, because he doesn't want his son to be told that homosexuality is a good thing. You know, it's professional sports was one of the last bastions of not having to have that particular perversion put in your face. You can't watch commercials if you watch professional sports. You got to fast forward through the commercials. But okay, so, and then he went on. He said, I respect that. And as been the case in the past, my beliefs have not and will not impact my ability to report on the NBA. I believe Jason Collins displayed bravery with his announcement today. Now, how's that? How about those who said, how about the manager? Was it the manager of the Philadelphia team who just was mocking the Brooklyn Dodgers and saying that Jackie Robinson obviously impregnated one of their wives, and just mocking him, mocking them for having a black man on the team, and mocking Jackie Robinson for thinking, I won't use the words, that he could actually be in a league with white, real ball players. And imagine Chris Broussard saying, I respect that. I respect that coach for Philadelphia having the courage to express himself and say that blacks are no good and they shouldn't be allowed to play professional sports. I respect that. He wouldn't say that, would he? He wouldn't say that. Remember Reggie Rivers, the former Broncos player who's been a radio talk show host and a columnist now for 10 years in Denver? And he wrote a column and he said, you know, I could understand, while I don't condone it, I can understand what led the Romans to kill the Christians. Remember that? And then he issued the backhanded apology a week later. We document all this at our website, kgov.com. Just do kgov.com/Rivers or /Reggie Rivers. By the way, when there are two words, usually you put hyphens between them. So kgov.com/Reggie-Rivers, and you get the whole ugly story. So remember the murderer who hated Christians, who shot up and murdered Christians in Arvada, Colorado at YWAM, went south to New Life Church and ended up getting killed there on the campus. He got shot by a female security guard. She's a hero, and then he shot himself. Remember that? That guy wanted to kill Christians. So Reggie, he should have dusted off his column and said, well, I don't condone it, but I understand why he wanted to kill Christians. And why is Reggie still accepted among liberals in the Colorado community? Why? I mean, imagine saying, you know, I don't condone what the KKK did, but I could understand them wanting to kill blacks. Imagine saying that. Imagine how utterly despicable and it would reveal about the heart of someone who said that. I don't condone what the Germans did, but I can understand why they'd want to kill the Jews. Imagine how wicked and vile a heart is. Jesus said that these thoughts proceed from the heart. And so Reggie Rivers gets a pass. He just has to write a backhanded apology, which is actually a further insult to the Christians he's ridiculing, mocking. It's all, you could read it there, kgov.com/Reggie-Rivers. So then he went on to say that, so it was bravery that Jason Collins was brave to make his announcement. And I have no objection to him or any racist or anyone who hates Jews or any pedophile or anyone committing bestiality playing in the NBA. Don't you think you're going a little far there, Chris? You know, the NFL is now, their policy is no discrimination based on sexual orientation. And boy, they got to talk to the guys at the APA, the American Psychological Association, because they've been declassifying all kinds of perversions as wrong. You know, it's fornication. Oh, that's okay. Homosexuality. Oh, that's okay. Pedophilia. Oh, that's okay. Really? It's only dysfunctional if you're bothered by it. If you're not bothered by pedophilia, it's really not that bad. Just listen to a recent radio program I did with Matt Barber from Liberty University. Speak of the devil. No, I mean, that's just an expression. Jerry Falwell founded Liberty, right? I think. Yeah. I love Matt Barber. And so you get the drift, right? All right. So the president of Exodus International responded to an email that I sent out and said, Bob, thanks, but no thanks. And that's not surprising. I included excerpts from our article, Nicer Than God. And if you've never heard our Nicer Than God Bible study, I think you'll love it. You can download it or get it on an MP3 CD. It's a few hours. It's like a seminar on Nicer Than God. And there's an article that goes with it at our website, kgov.com/Nicer Than God. You could read it, study it. It has about 100 Bible verses that are referenced in it. If you hover over the Bible verse, it pops up so you could read it. So if we make a claim and then you don't see the claim, you can't remember. Does the Bible really say that? You don't have to actually go look it up, although that's preferred. But you just hover over the reference and they're like Judges chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it'll pop up. So in this email exchange, There's a Christian leader who got upset at Doug McBurney because Doug McBurney used the word perversion. Could you believe Doug would say such a thing? He used the word perversion regarding homosexuals, or even pervert regarding homosexuals. And one of the Christian leaders thought that was inappropriate and rebuked Doug. And so then I usually avoid these exchanges, but then I went ahead and stepped in and I responded to Micah Clark. And I said, Micah, you said that you thought the word pervert is not biblical. And I think if you look up in the Bible, wherever the word dog is used to describe homosexuals, where they're referred to as dogs, I think you'll come across the verse that refers to them also as perverts. And so I thank Micah for his love for the Lord and for the lost, and then went on to share with him that we've had the opportunity here at Bob Inert Live to lead homosexuals to the Lord. We have a DVD on it, Terry's Call. And then I shared with him some of our A Nicer Than God article, which explains that Christians today are nicer than God, or at least they're trying to be so. And in the church, there is a standard of niceness that Jesus failed to reach while on earth. And comparing God's attitude and behavior with that of the church today shows that believers today are far more polite, tolerant, understanding, and respectful to the wicked than God is. The church is also less offensive, rude, and sarcastic than God's men in the Bible were. And no Christian would ever be caught dead mocking the wicked as God's men in the Bible sometimes did. You know, the Bible sometimes ministers through ridicule, humor, sarcasm, and even mocking. Remember that God mocked and defeated the Midianites by giving them a nightmare in which they were attacked by a loaf of bread. Now, how's that? I mean, I know guys in the military, you know, former Marines, they're tough, they're manly men. Imagine them going hysterical because they thought they were being attacked by a loaf of bread. You want to talk about mocking an army. Elijah, just prior to executing 450 prophets of Baal, the Bible says, in quotes, he mocked them, telling them to yell louder to their God so that Baal could hear their prayers, since he must be on a trip, or maybe he's sleeping, or maybe he's in the bathroom. That's what Elijah is saying to them. KGov.com/nicer. And Jesus rebuked the multitudes for not responding in faith to John the Baptist's message as he ridiculed them. He made fun of them because they went out to the wilderness in mass to listen to John the Baptist. And Jesus said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Would you all go out there to see some weed that was waving in the air? Is that what you went out there for? The especially harsh term hypocrite, that's really hard. Right? Today, there's no term that's harsh except homo. But everything else is pretty much, doesn't matter. You call somebody a liar, it doesn't matter. The liars are the presidents. So if somebody's accused of being a liar, they don't even care anymore for the most part. There's no shame. But there was a time when hypocrite was an especially harsh term, and it's used in the Gospels 23 times. Jesus often insulted the scribes, Pharisees, and the lawyers. He even called the Pharisees blind guides. I wonder what he'd say today to us here at Bob Inert Live. What would he say to Exodus International or to Focus on the Family? What would he say? He called them sons of hell. Jesus spoke unkind words, unacceptable today. He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He told the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." He made a whip and cleared thieves from the temple. You know, Gentiles, as symbols of the godless, and sodomites in the Bible, both groups are called dogs. And we give half a dozen verses showing where, you know, Jesus called homosexuals and Gentiles dogs, the Gentiles who were godless. Jesus was harsh not only to the Pharisees, as some believers wrongly assume, because they say, well, he was only harsh to the religious leaders. That's not true. But to all the unrepentant. See all the times he used the word hypocrite. Jesus instructs Christians to not cast your pearls before swine. The silly dilemma today is, well, who could he possibly have meant by that? There's no way. You know, we're all so loving and tolerant and polite and respectful. We would never refer to any human being by that mean-spirited term. Jesus must have meant, don't cast your necklace before a pig in a pigsty. He must have meant that. Yeah, but he wasn't talking about Barney Frank, so he couldn't have meant that. You know, and it goes on, and we list in our article, Nicer Than God, the places where Jesus intentionally offended people, intentionally. And the things he said when he was told, Lord, don't you know that they're offended? You should see the things he said to them. And he's the rock, we know. But Jesus said that on whoever the rock falls, it will grind him to powder. Because he's called the rock of offense. And it's quite a teaching, Nicer Than God. Check it out at our website, kgov.com, or you can order the study. Call us 800-8-NYARDS.